In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Mark wrote, "On that day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.'" Which day is that day? It is the day that has occupied our gospel readings for the last several weeks. Jesus had cast out a demon, was pressed by the crowd so that his family was not able to get to him. He was accused of casting out demons by the power of demons. He defended himself against his enemies, proclaimed that he had come to bind the strong man, to bind Satan and plunder his house. He had rebuked his own family, and as if that were not enough, later in that day, Jesus found himself in a boat pressed again by the crowds of people. And then he used the bow of that boat as a makeshift pulpit from which to preach. He preaches the sermon of the sower with its various kinds of soil, the sermon of the seed which grows although we do not know how, and the sermon of the mustard seed, which is the smallest of the seeds but grows into the largest of the plants. And of course, we should understand that all these parables are snippets and excerpts recorded for us by St. Mark from longer discourses. Even on the most tiring day of VBS, neither I nor the helpers, even though they did much, could say that we had a day like Jesus had that day. All of this together illustrates one way or another, that the kingdom of heaven is not what we might think. That God is not like us. He does not do things the way that we do things, or the way we think he ought to do them. He doesn't ask for our advice, and he doesn't count our votes. His ways are not our ways. And on that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, that is, to the 12 disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." He is speaking of the Sea of Galilee. They are going to travel from the western side to the eastern side. On the western side is where the Hebrews lived, the people from which Jesus came. On the eastern side is where the Gentiles lived. He's going to the Gentile region of the Gerasenes, a revolutionary thing which points forward to the gospel's progress to the ends of the earth, and thank God, to us as well. And there he meets that one soul demoniac, and as he said he'd do, he binds Satan, he binds the evil spirits, and releases the man. And as it seems, they ended up going all that way across the sea just for him. Now, leaving the crowd, they, that is the disciples, took him, that is Jesus, with them in the boat just as he was. Just as he was probably means exhausted. Absolutely spent from the exorcism, from defending himself against the Pharisees, from family drama, and from all of his preaching. And other boats were with him, Mark records. I don't think I can say exactly what that means. Most likely it means that other boats had gathered around to hear his preaching. Less likely that they followed him all the way across the sea. At any rate, Mark focuses his attention on that one boat in which Jesus and the disciples are in. And Mark tells us that a great windstorm arose. The Greek word for windstorm here is important. It's the same word that we find in the Greek translation of the Old Testament in that part of Job that we just read. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind." That is, God reveals himself in and through the whirlwind. And there you recall he famously says to Job, "Were you there when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding." The point being that Job did not have understanding, and by extension, of course, neither do we. Indeed, we live not by wisdom or understanding, but by faith. God is not like us. His ways are not like our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His wisdom and understanding are much, much greater than our own. The difference is between literal infinity and our very real finitude. What we can know about God by our reason, by our own understanding, is quite limited. We can perceive his eternal power and his divine nature, and we can understand largely his law. But beyond that, not much more. Ultimately, we can only truly know him by the way in which he reveals himself, the way in which he chooses to reveal himself to us. The way he reveals himself in his word is, on that account, very often contrary to our reason, contrary to our own experiences, and contrary to our understanding. We must live by faith and not by sight. We trust, as our VBS kids learned this last week, according to God's word, that Jesus comes for us, provides for us, heals us, body and soul, that he saves us, and that he gives us joy. And so, back to Mark and back to the whirlwind, the windstorm, we see that God reveals himself to us in the midst of the storm. He did this for Job, and he does this for Ezekiel, too. And that ought to tip us off to this text here to see how, in the midst of the whirlwind, in the midst of the windstorm, God reveals himself to us and to his disciples. That's the point. So, a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. Now, archaeologists have found boats from the first century on the shore of Galilee that could easily hold 13 people. And so we have a pretty good sense from that what this scene would have looked like. Those boats, the sides are something like 4 feet high, and of course, when you're in the water, quite a bit lower. The storm came up, and it whipped up the waves, and they were so great that they were coming in the sides of the boats. The Sea of Galilee is something like 700 feet below sea level, and just 30 short miles away, Mount Hermon is something like 9,000 feet above sea level. And you know what happens when you get a mixture of cold air and hot air, and the sorts of storms that whips up. And so, there were quite the storms that would whip up on Galilee. And the fishermen on that sea rightly feared the weather, and they knew their powerlessness in the face of such a storm. And so on that day, the waves were coming up the side of the boat and filling it up. Now, I'm not an expert on boats, but I'm pretty sure that is not a good thing when the boat's filling up with water. Jesus, to everyone's surprise and deep consternation, is fast asleep, sleeping on a cushion. Toward the back of the boat, there was probably decking over the back upon which the steerman could see and steer the boat, and under the deck was a place where Jesus was sleeping on the cushion. And in this we see that God is not like us, that Jesus is not like us. Just think about that for a moment. In the midst of the storm, no anxiety, no worry, no guilt, and no fear. Not so for the disciples, for they are very much like us. The disciples woke Jesus and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Do you not care that we are dying here?" At least they reached out to him, and in so doing they show a sort of faith, even if it was a weak and feeble faith, for they assumed that Jesus could help and that he would help, and yet they are not exactly sure because they remain fearful. It's a faithless kind of faith that they have, and that we also so often have. Because in our best moments, when we are seeing everything as it truly is, we know that we are in trouble, that we are over our heads, that the waves threaten to swamp the boat, whether it is an acute situation or the entirety of our lives or the state of our society as a whole, we know that we are helpless, and in the wind and the waves we are perishing, each and every one. And in fact, God in his grace brings us to this point in our life again and again so that we might repent, so that we might despair of what we are by our fallen nature and receive him. And so let us receive him, but let us receive him as he is and not as we think he should be. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. Now, that translation is actually a little bit of a Sunday school translation, you might say. He really says something more along the lines of, shut up, be muzzled. And the winds ceased and the sea was calm. Shut it, Jesus says. And the wind and the waves stop. And then Jesus said to them, oh, are you okay? You must have been so terrified. I'm sorry I was not more sensitive to your needs. I was just sleeping over there and no. Jesus says no such thing. He is not like us. He even defies our sense of phony grace and our comfortable everything is going to be all right-isms. He actually says to his disciples, why are you so afraid? What's your problem? Do you still have no faith? It's true that they don't. It's only a faithless kind of faith. And they were filled with great fear. Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And that is one of this text's great delights, one of the reasons I love this text. They were filled with great fear. They were terrified at the wind. They were terrified at the waves. And now that Jesus has stopped the wind and the waves, they are even more afraid. Because the guy sitting next to them, who was just asleep, has the power of God. And when he speaks, it is so. As they are sitting there contemplating the seeming indifference of this Jesus and the seeming indifference of this God, maybe even the wrath of this Jesus and the wrath of this God, it creates in them a certain fear. They become even more afraid when God delivers them, when he shows them his power, when he shows them his mercy. And they were filled with a great fear, and immediately Jesus said, no, don't be afraid. That's an impious thought. I forgive you. I love you. No. Again, he defies our expectations. He lets them have that great fear. It's healthy. And he lets them marvel and contemplate this question. Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him? He gives them space to contemplate who is this. You see, the power over wind and sea, over the forces of nature, that only belongs to one. Only one can say to the proud waves, be stopped here and go no further. Only one has power over the devil and the unclean spirits. That power only belongs to one. The power over death, over life itself, only belongs to one. The one who says, no one takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it up again. And that one is the one who bears all our sins on the cross upon his shoulders and takes them away forever. The one who came to destroy the power of death over us. The one who came to open the way of everlasting life that we might abide in peace with him and God the Father forever. No, he is not like us. He loves us even though we were still his enemies. He loves us even when our faith is a faithless sort of faith. No, he is not like us at all. And his ways are not like our ways. And that is good. It is very, very good. And thus we know that if we fear and love him because he first loved us, we need not fear anything else. The wind and the waves, the storms of life do not need to threaten us because we are in the boat with Jesus, in the ark of the Holy Christian Church, and by his word, which rules and governs all things, we are saved. Amen. You may rise for the offertory.